huh? Now, I got my, you may be seated. I got my hand on this letter than other apostles did. So I'm going to take 2013 to 2023 as the decade of acceleration. All during this period, we'll take it right now. We started last week about the recovery. I want to take it right now as the decade of acceleration. So I want you to watch it from tonight on. Things going to happen that are out of the ordinary. Now, you're going to have to take a hold of this. From drifting to shifting to lifting to gifting. Come on now, you got to get it. See, what happened, we've been drifting to a certain extent because we got away from the Lord's first intention, all right? I told you about the revivals and the restoration and those things where we made denominations out of when we should have been moving back into the fresh acts of the Holy Spirit, which is in the book of Acts. The book of Acts always had fresh acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostle or through whoever the Holy Spirit was using at that time. We got to get back to these fresh acts. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to hear this. Decade of acceleration. That's 10 years. Decade of acceleration. And they got me on a certain diet, so you might see me. I'm eating. I'm getting this belly and stuff off me. I'm eating a certain way. And maybe some of y'all need to jump. No. And so, you know, I had to eat at 5. That's it. I can't eat. It got me off. I can't eat them. I'm losing 3 meals a day in a certain way that I'm eating. All right. From drifting. Now, think about drifting. How long we've been drifting in the church. Actually, you know, we're not trying to criticize anybody. What we're trying to do is critique what is causing us to lose at large. See, we're critiquing it because this is what this school for. This school is to come to the reality of the Holy Ghost working in our life properly. So we to a certain extent, according to what we could have or what we should have at large, I've been in this business 38 years, we've been drifting.
Yes,
so the Spirit of God said to me, from drifting to shifting. So there's some shifting going to have to be done. Now, from being a race car driver, I drove the hot dramatic, but I had a friend who drove a GTO. And he knew how to shift that thing. And when he shifted to another gear, it would jump every time. Sometimes I'd be riding with him. That thing jumped to another speed. And the spirit world is about to jump to another speed. Now, listen to me. We're in history here. We're making history here in this school right now. This is history because this is right on top of what God is saying. And so this shifting, it's going to be some moving in your life, moving in the spirit, jumping from one gear to another one. Gear in miracles, gears in shine, gears in oneness, gears in revelation, gears in grace, gears in joy. Tests, trials, you're really going to count them joy. Because you're going to know how to work them. You know how you work them? Yeah, how you work them. You're working with 5 things. You're working with faith, knowledge, patience, joy, and wisdom. It's all in James chapter 1. Those 5 things. Whoever you go through anything, take James 1 and Hebrews 12:2 and watch how Jesus did it. Who for the joy that was set before him. So if you're going through something, know this. You count it joy by knowledge. Then your faith works by patience. Then you ask God for wisdom, and there's nothing that can stop you from having a victory. See, that's a jump right there. I'll give you 5 things. 5 things you didn't have. See, that's what this shifting, this decade of from drifting to shifting to lifting. To lifting. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what he said I do? Well, quite naturally, you start drifting, from drifting to shifting, you're going to be start lifting some things because you're going to be walking in a deeper dimension of the Lord's recovery and of the Lord's intention. And then the gifting. The gifting, the gifting. Each gift through the culture of honor and through the spirit of honor and through the things that the Lord is teaching us about the apostolic church and the apostolic blueprint, the apostolic strategies, apostolic understanding, every gift will be able to move in its own season. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, the gifting cramps are going to be taken away because you're going to see a larger picture than just this pulpit. And you're going to stop trying to get through doors. You're going to start walking through gates. You know, gates are wider than doors, you know. Yeah, you're going to see. And this is what we want to aim. Now, I'm going to give you four or five scriptures, and I'm going to set out to give you a declaration that the Lord gave me before I left the house about this whole acceleration business from drifting to shifting to lifting to gifting. I got a declaration you can make. I'm going to give it as slowly as I can, but I'm not going to stay there. But I'm going to give you some scriptures that open your eyes. In Matthew 16, where Jesus come into court with Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the opinion of men. All right. Opinions has to die. Men opinion about what you should be doing in the spirit has to die. You have to obey God whether you lose the crowd or not. I can't hear you.
Yes,
see, it's man opinion that have dominated the power, have held people back from moving in the spirit. I know now, basically, all these things I'm teaching you, I've been through it. I know how it works. That's why I'm free as a minister. That's why you're here at this school. That's why God told me to open the school, so you can be open. Okay? So in Matthew 16, you find out that there's keys, there's a rock, there's no way for the devil to stop a person who walks in revelation knowledge. That's when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. So now you have, I'm teaching on unusual keys on Sunday morning, but you have the keys to unlock gates by revelation. Flood gates. Then from that revelation, the church had to move in revelation. The church had not moved in revelation as she should. From that, the next step is Acts 2, 1 through 4. That's power. When the Holy Ghost came. That's power. The church need power. Ministers need power. Say, I need power.
I need
yeah,
power.
You can't be just talking this talk, writing your little poem and your little outlines, coming up here. And having and memorize scripture and giving them what chapter, what verse, and see this, and then act like a concordance, tell us what verse go with the verse. We need to know what's in the verse.
Yes. Yes.
And see that create power, revelation power. Then in Acts chapter 8, look through Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. I'm not going to look at none of these scripture, but then the church of Jerusalem was forced out of Jerusalem, and Philip went down and started a revival in Samaria. And see, this is the age we're in now. I think Montreal have it in a magazine. What I'm the go ye, which I'm putting in this church as an apostolic strategy in a certain way, and in the churches that are under me. In Acts 13, you see them praising, ministering to the Lord, sending out people who God says send them out. And then in Acts 3:19, you find the words time of refreshing. Now, I don't know, the Lord spoke to me. I can't think of all those things. Barbara, I know you might have a list of them. Go down deeper. And you got a list of those things? Because I need to bring those things to your face that you need to go down there with me. The thing that the Lord began to deal with me about, I didn't know he was leading me to the Lord's recovery. And in this apostolic strategies we studied in this book, I'm going to get into that in a few moments at a deeper depth. But the Lord started dealing with me about fresh acts of the Holy Ghost. Fresh acts of the Holy Ghost. Now, all of it's tying in now because it's drifting from this drifting to this shifting to this lifting to this gifting. back to God's intended plan or intended purpose, and back to the going back, we call it the Lord's recovery, because we're recovering back to the Lord. All right, I want you to say this with me. I know you won't try to write it, but I want you to say it with me. Maybe I'll get a copy in your hand some kind of way.
I set myself
to move in this recovery.
This time of refreshing
has come.
I make myself available
for fresh acts
in the Holy Ghost.
I know
I will have to change,
but I'm willing to change
as the Spirit leads.
I will not drift
over old ideals.
But I'm ready to flow
with the shifting,
lifting,
and gifting
to enter
into the Lord's recovery.
Nobody in the world ever has said this but you.
You're on the bridge of some of the biggest breakthroughs you've ever seen in your life.
Some of the grandest miracles and signs and wonders the church age have ever seen before.
The churches that are associated and connected with this ministry, the membership of this ministry, the membership of all the churches connected with this ministry will start doing things
that can't be explained.
Now listen what the Lord told me prior to this. He says to me, I will brighten your candle.
Write that down, because you need a bright candle.
Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
He said, I didn't know what he was doing.
He said, I'll brighten your candle.
Then he says, I'll let you down into the deep.
Watch how he working now.
Then he said this, and I thought the Lord had missed it.
I'll teach you how to use your faith.
I mean, I knew my faith. I knew Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:3, Hebrews 11:6, 2 Corinthians 5:7, Romans 1:17. I knew all that. Tell me, teach you how to use your faith.
I saw what he said in Galatians 2:20, that you should live by the faith of the Son of God.
That agreed with Mark. You better write quick. That agreed with Mark 11:22.
Said have faith in God.
See, you can't. People have faith in their faith.
People have faith in the word without God.
Yeah, they got scripture without God. The Bible says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have me.
But you don't.
Then he said, I'll teach you the power of the cross.
Well, you remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
It's very important in your preaching, you must preach the cross.
All right? Now, through tradition, we messed up the cross preaching,
because we hung Jesus every Sunday.
And so people became commonplace with there he hang.
The sacredness and the seriousness and the, I guess another word for it is the sealing factor. The cross is a sealing factor. It's in depth. You see, it's the gospel.
Then he says, now I'm going to train you in the supernatural.
And I taught some classes, many classes on the supernatural. Not all. You know, let me give you back about the cross. 1 Corinthians 2:2 and Galatians 6:14. Look at Galatians 6:14. Look at Galatians 6:14 in your Bible. When you talk about I'll teach you the power of the cross. Look at Galatians 6:14. You got your Bible, I hope. You're in a Bible college. Galatians 6:14. What did it say? Somebody read it.
Galatians in the New Testament. Somebody read it.
Now, one of the problems,
Lord,
one of the problems with your money is you're not crucified.
And the enemy is stealing your increase after you're sold.
Now, I'm going to give you a scripture on that. Judges 6:1-10. Just read. You're going to find out how. Your seed, you're sowing, but you're not getting nothing because there's something wrong in your life.
And your harvest start coming up, the enemy go down your field and cut it down because you ain't got no power to stop it. I ain't got time to teach that. But I won't give you that. So you make sure your life right. See, you're sowing seeds there, you make sure your life right. All right. Galatians 6:14, you see, the world crucified to me and I'm crucified to the world. All right? And then you must know the culture of honor and how it works. And you're being taught that. And then the Lord came to number seven. He came to, if you don't have seven, you're not with me, baby. When the Lord came to number seven, apostleship, I will reveal to you church government. Galatians 1:1 and Isaiah 9:6-7. Let's go to work. That was just prelude. Now, I want to go back over the Lord's recovery. Do you understand what I'm saying about the Lord's recovery? I'm saying this. Going back to God's original plan, no matter what the Pharisee says, no matter what no denomination says, no matter what no bishop, pope, priest, apostle, prophet, anybody else said, it has to go back to God's original plan. God's original plan was laid out for us in the book of Acts, and it was messed up, but he's showing us how not to mess up. He showed us those three churches, church at Jerusalem, church at Antioch, and the church at Ephesus. We're going to study them real soon. They're different aspects of the church. Some church had walls, some church had no wall, some church had global mentality, some church had down the street mentality. The Lord's recovery, now we talked about the principle. I know I went over this class, but I got to go over it as a teacher. The Lord stand with what he has already ordained in the beginning. That's so powerful. The Lord stands with what he has already ordained in the beginning. Bible or no Bible. Because we like to quote scripture to the Lord, but not handling that right. He stands with what he has ordained. You understand that? It doesn't matter who against you. It doesn't matter. We don't have to be fighting. We just go and do, fight the good fight of faith. Do what the Lord tells us to do. You understand? But the Lord stand with what he had already ordained in the beginning, and his people must have a heart to care for his intention from the beginning. Yes, now, you have to understand the Lord God was a word user in the power of the Spirit. So let me jump over your head now. You got to listen. God himself, Jesus himself, was a word user in the power of the Spirit. Created everything they needed to create. Directed everything they needed to direct it by a combination of the letter and the Spirit. So the principle of recovery is this. Now you're going to have this on test. You better believe it. I got to come give it myself. The principle of recovery, because you need to know what it is. Because, see, you're going to enter into a decade of acceleration, and you're going to get left behind. Many churches, church members, going to be left behind. Businessmen in churches who don't have this cutting edge, going to be at the foot of the businessmen who are in churches that know what they're doing. Yes, sir. Children at school, college students, they're going to be at the foot of those children who know what they're doing. Now, remember this. Now, the principle, now remember, the recovery is related to God's purpose. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John, I think, 3:8, 3:18, something like that. For this purpose, 3:8, for this purpose, destroy the work of the devil. Instead of the devil destroying you, you destroy him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we come to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you meet the right point, who know how to use the sword of the Spirit and know how to flow the Spirit, he get destroyed. Yes, sir. Behold, I give you power. Trade upon Luke 10:19. Yes, sir. Trade upon serpent and scorpion, the power of all the enemy, and he should do you no harm. So the recovery is related to God's purpose. Now listen, class. God's eternal purpose is that man should be, number one, a corporate entity to express him with his image. See, I know I went over that last week, but I need to go back over it because I got a fresh hold on it. Express him with his image. What that mean? Express him with his dominion. That's the next one, but his dominion. In his image is his dominion, his power. It's unstoppable, unforgettable, undeniable, unresistible,
I'm going to use a term, you're going to catch it, unimpossible. You understand me? Now, I tell you what, I'm going to be wild because this thing is in the spirit. And to express him with his image, not expressing him with gimmicks. His image is holy, sanctified, set apart, loving, kind, working with people, not working against people. So his image, and the second thing is, we'll represent him with his dominion. The Lord's recovery is his image and his dominion. His image and his dominion. Not none of these little popcorn, pussyfoot message we've been teaching. We need some power. Yes, sir. People need to vibrate when we talk. Yes. People need to start checking their heart when you start talking and say, oh, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. In a row, you know, you're down in a row. Say, Lord, he all, look at it. Look at his eyes. Look. Oh, Lord. Did I do anything, Lord? Clean me up. Yes. I don't know what you're going to have. The gift might start working. Yes, they need to have that fear on them. All right, the role of the church. See, God's going to work through the church. We're going to find out in our governmental territorial churches that whatever church is tuned into God properly, that's where God come to a city through. Whatever minister is tuned into God properly, that's who he come through. Yeah, that's God's gate in down to the earth realm. Somebody who know how to yield to the Spirit. The role of the church is not suited for man convenient. Come on now. But it's to meet God's need. Now, most preachers are broke because they try to use the church for their convenience. Yes, I know I'm going to make a lot of preachers mad, yes, but the reason they're broke, they don't want to let nobody cover them, right, to recover them. Right. Yeah. And so now they're trying to make the church meet their need. Yeah. And the Lord said the church is supposed to meet God's need.
Right. Right.
He has ordained his church to fulfill a specific role and carry out certain responsibility. Specific role and certain responsibility. And I tell you what it is. Meet the need of the people. Meet the need of the people. Don't care how low they have gone. You can meet the need of the people. The word can lift people up. All right, then I talked to you at number four about the picture of the recovery. The church is not to do whatever is right in their own eyes, but they must be determined, listen, class, to follow. Listen, you on the internet. I got more of y'all on the internet than in this room. They must be determined to follow God's standard as revealed in his word. Now, that's what got us off the road. We turned from what he told us to do. And we started getting popular and started trying to get our needs met, trying to buy some suits and stuff and be all in cars that we didn't need at that time. And got ahead of God. Now everybody's struggling. People struggling. The preacher's struggling. The whole church struggling. Struggle plus struggle equals struggle. And we got to get away from that. We got to get away from that, man. And don't let nobody talk to you funny about money. You need money for this to happen. Don't get so spiritual. You talk about, Lord, I don't want to talk about it. You stupid thing. We need to talk about it. That's what's holding us back. We ain't got no money to go preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
How you gonna go to Africa with $80?
Yes,
you can't even ride a bus. Right. Africa a long way.
Yes,
I got a doctor team here going to Africa in June, right around Darnell wedding. They told me they're gonna be gone. I'm gonna start talking to them about them. You see? But some people won't go. I ain't got the money.
Yeah.
Can't go. So the church can't do whatever right in their own eye. To follow God's standard as revealed in his word, he had made certain choices regarding the church and his practice, and he intended that his will be honored and carried out in a practical way. All right, a brief history of the recovery. The Lord's recovery today is not something isolated from his recovery in the past, but we stand upon the shoulders of all those who have gone before us for the recovery, includes all those truth recovered in previous generation. Now, you remember I told you, now I don't know if you heard me. I told you about restoration. We've had a lot of restoration. We've had a lot of revivals.
Yeah.
but they're still not recovering. See, all the restorations and revivals are supposed to come together to be the recovery, but they stopped off to become denomination. I don't want you to forget that. And that's where the problem came. That's why men become so popular that God didn't stand a chance. Had men rather hear men name than hear God name. See, because they knew the man, but they didn't know God. Because the man didn't tell them about God, see. I'd follow a man, but I know God. That's what you better get in your mind. I'd follow a man of God, but I know God myself. Huh? If I need to pray, I can pray. I know him. Huh? And that's the way you want to train people. The Lord recovers not something isolated from his recovery in the past, but we stand upon the shoulders of all those who have gone before us. For the recovery includes all those truth. All those truth recovered in previous generation. See, but they stopped. We should have been head back where God wants, right? The recovery today is twofold: enjoyment and experience of the riches of Christ. And the second is the practice of the church life. And you can't practice church life if you really don't know what the church life really is. All right? Now, I said this, but I'm going to say it again. My secretary rewrote some things for me, and I need to say them to you because I want to. Sometimes it's bad repeating something so a person can catch it in their spirit. Y'all with me? Because of a lot of restoration that had to be restored back in the church, the Lord's recovery never took place. Whenever waves of restoration, revivals, discoveries, or transformation took place, they were all turned into denominations of some sort. But God was on his way to his recovery by restoring these things, leading us back to his original intent. All of these denominations were not to be. The church is supposed to be one, Ephesians chapter 4. But if we will get back in God's original plan, then we will be able to carry out his original intent. That what he had from the beginning, to be an express image of him and walk in his dominion. Now we'll go to chapter 12, and I think this is a prelude. God got a setup. This is a setup. Because chapter 12 is going to tell us about the kingdom gubernatorial church government, how this thing really should go, and how a church can be really effective toward the things of God. And tell me you're coming from work. Lie to me. Tell me something, huh? All right. A governing territorial church. Now, we really haven't seen these churches, and so now you're going to be the makeup of this type of church because you're going to have the understanding of how it works. The first thing he says here is it is a local church with a global mentality. See, it's not a church with wall, church right here in Darrow, Baton Rouge. It got a global mentality. I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to give you a definition of a word because I had to look it up myself. The second thing, it established itself as an epic center to plan and implement strategies. Let me give it to you again now. And I'll give you that word, epic center. I'm going to give you a definition of it. It's real going to help us. It established itself, the church, the governing church, as an epic center to plan and implement strategies. See, that's from the Holy Ghost. That's actually, on top of it is apostolic strategies, prophetic strategies. You see what I'm saying? Now that word epicenter, look what that word means. The point on the earth's surface directly above the point of origin of an earthquake. Listen to what it says. The government church, it established itself as the epicenter to plan and implement strategies. This thing is about to explode.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With the presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God,
the perception of God. You understand what I'm saying? So he said, watch his word, watch his word, watch his word. Epicenter. The point on the earth's surface directly above the point of origin of an earthquake. That church could be sitting. See, the earthquake is actually the move of God. God fully coming in, and the earth's gonna quake when these type of church start standing up, and these people who think they're breaking out bad and coming out the closet and all that. No, the church, we coming out the closet. The church coming out the closet. We've been in the closet too long. We've been in the closet. We're coming out the closet. We're supposed to be in control. When a minister walk in the room, people ought to know he in the room. You know, people get commonplace with a minister. Hey, how you doing, Rep? Go set your tail on somewhere. That's just disrespectful. It is disrespectful. You know, I don't allow that, but I've seen it. I've seen some places. Why? 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 He didn't earn it. He had more than it yet. He had more than the respect. He got a half covering. He ain't got nobody to jerk the slack out of him. And nobody, he don't want to submit himself. How you want somebody to submit to you? You don't want to submit. Then, now watch now, because these are more powerful than we listening. This governing territorial church, which is under the apostolic anointing, really it's an apostolic church, where it's a book of Acts church, it's God's original plan. It is a hub, H-U-B, a hub is a center of activity. It's a hub of divine activity in a region. Nothing turned without that baby. You know, they don't even know it, but Word of Life is a hub around here. They don't, some people don't know it, but we the hub they're turning on. Yes, sir. They was able to build them buildings because we here. The subdivision was able to be built because we here. We got all them demons out of here. They had plantation demons here. Yes. Slave demons, all kind of demons. We got them out. Yes. These people living in the conference, some of them don't come to the church, but we the one got them in here. All them buildings out there, all them business out there, they come here because we here.
Right, right. Yes,
sir. And nothing will come down here unless it come through us.
Yes, sir.
Divine activity. Think about that. Divine activity. Supernatural activity. Nobody want to go to no common church. Ain't nobody got no time for this. Go to church and the same old thing. Ain't nobody got no time going to no Sunday school church. People are ready to do exploring.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What?
Yes, sir.
It carries, listen, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, it carries a spiritual prevailing position to rule the heaven. Spiritual prevailing position. A spiritual prevailing position. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you.
Right.
Act 19:20. Look at Act 19:20. Look at Act 19:20. Eat that. Eat that. Digest that. Apostle Paul, look what happened. Got a few demons straight. Look what happened. And the word of God grew and prevailed. It carries, now when I'm talking, we're talking about the church, you who are students here at Word of Life Christian Center, I'm talking to you. I'm giving you your characteristics. I expect you to carry a spiritual prevailing position to rule the heavens. Good God Almighty. Take it by faith. You might not understand it all now, but good God Almighty. Woo! I almost can't sit there, boy. Just think about that. A spirit, see, because I know I'm in one.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I had to pay for it, though.
Yes.
A spiritual prevailing position.
Yes.
Rule of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's three things when that happened. I love this next one. I want you, class, I want you to catch this. By exercising dominion over the spirit realm. Woo! Exercising dominion over the spirit realm. We've been authorized by Almighty God through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to exercise dominion over the spirit realm. And then he gave us power to do it because he told us, don't leave Jerusalem until I'm going to give you some power to exercise the dominion. See, the Holy Ghost. Listen. You grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what he told you to do. You quench the Holy Spirit by doing what he didn't tell you to do. So stop it. You grieve him by not doing what he tell you to do. See, because he's going to tell you to do something that your senses are going to have to get off the bus. And say, pick me back up later. I can't handle this. Just open the door and let your senses off. Because you ain't going to go in the spirit realm with your senses. Now, you'll get your senses so well. Paul talked about that. We try to move in the spirit. You're going to get your senses where you can exercise your senses. Your senses are going to almost agree with your spirit. You're going to train them. I think that's Hebrews 5. You exercise your senses. Because you're going to train your soul then. Exercising dominion over the spirit realm. So that means you're over everything then. Yeah, you're over everything. You're over everything. See, the church is over everything. There's no institution in the world. Now, they don't want you to hear that, you know, Congress and all that, but they're under us. They need our prayer. All right? We give respect where respect is due, but the dominion stop right here. That which pleases God. I want you to hear this. See, because we get so spiritual, we're not going to understand this. If I just say it, you're not going to understand it. I want this to grip your spirit. My goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
I want this to grip your spirit. This next thing, when it said you carry a spiritual prevailing position to rule of heaven by exercising dominion over the spirit realm. This thing here, talking about keeping the heavens open. Boy, you know what? Keeping the heaven, you have the ability, a territorial church who's lined up with God's original plan, have the ability of keeping the heavens open.
Yes,
sir. I've done all I could to keep the heaven open over this church and over these people.
Yes,
I've seen these people grow and develop and become strong. Yeah, we still got challenges, but bless God, it ain't challenges like a monkey don't know how to eat a banana.
Yes.
We do know how to eat the banana, good God Almighty. Take the peeling off it, you know what I'm saying? Keeping the heavens open. See, Jesus' ministry, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That's what happened to heaven open. Heaven open means a voice come.
Yeah.
Heaven open is Jacob's ladder, angels in activity, coming down here, picking up order, bringing order, coming back and forth, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
And then Smith Wigglesworth said that the Holy Ghost didn't move, he moved the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
These men who had intimacy in the spirit realm. You see, you'd be frightened in the spirit realm if you don't have the right intimacy.
Yes,
you see, you have to love God 24 hours a day.
Yes, sir.
I never put him aside.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to develop that, class, if you really want to see some of these things we're talking about. This, you know. Splitting the day with God ain't going to work. You're going to have to let this anointing set on you. That you want God more than anything in the world. Then if that's so, you'll be able, making the atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit movement in and around that region. Now, that don't mean everybody going to come to your church. That doesn't mean everybody will come to you when you minister, but it's there for them.
Yes, sir.
And they know it's there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The church who's moving in the Lord's recovery, every church in the union and in the region around them know it.
Yeah.
They might not admit it, but they know it. All the membership of the other church know it.
Yes, yes.
See, we're not putting nobody down. We're just dealing with a fact here.
Yes,
everybody can have it. Now, it's a strong local church that take on its city, influencing everything around it and within its reach. Now, you're definitely, and I'm lagging now because I'm teaching you right, you're definitely not going to be able to do that as a broke church. You got to have some manifestation.
Yes,
You got to have some demonstration. For these folks in this world to respect you, you got to have something they can see. And the Lord knew it. That's why he said, look at Jeremiah 33:9. That's why he said that. Look with me, if you please. Look at it. That's why he said that. The Lord said, I want them to see something. He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to show them something. They're going to respect you. I'm going to make them respect you. I was telling the man, them boys trying to find that car. So I want to get that car. And the man talking about they don't have the chauffeur seat in the back where he can lay down when somebody drives. I said, man, I want the thing to lay down in the back too. Yeah. But my neighbor told me, I like cars. I drove my roll in the yard. He told me, hey, man, he said, we started talking about cars, you know. So I want to tell him what kind of car I was looking for. I said, a car, I think I got three O's in the front of it. I couldn't even think of the name. So you know it don't mean much to me. I just, you know, I'm just playing. Me, I'm just having fun. I don't even know if it got three O's. I bought my secondary one. It got 3 0's in front of it. Four. See, I didn't know you had four. I couldn't think of that name, the Audi, but I couldn't think of the name. I said, well, the car was 3 0's in front of it. Jeez. Now, I forgot what scripture. I know what scripture I told you to look at. Because you're going to have to get your tail off the rail and let the Lord bless you. That's all to it. You just got to make your mind. You're going to fight. And you're going to... I know y'all believe what I say. Because I'll make a believe out you. Because I don't hide nothing. I'm just blessed. I don't hide nothing. I ain't got to explain nothing to you. I ain't got to pick no poke on with you. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. This is the Lord bless me. I'm just blessed. I'm just having fun. See. But when they see these things, they recognize that you're in town. I mean, sinners can't, they don't know your revelation. And these business people, they got to respect Word of Life Christian Center. The banks, all the banks got to respect. We got money in them. They got to respect us. Then we got a revelation. Then we got clean lies. They can't find no booger man in the back of our car. It's a strong local church that take on its city, influencing everything around it and within its reach. It has no wall or limit. Listen. No boundaries, preventing it from advancing in the city or region. I want you to collect yourself now, and I want you to these with these insight about this territorial governor church, and that's Ephesians chapter 4, what we're dealing with, and that's the Lord's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You talk about the unity of the faith. We're going to get to the point where size don't make you this church, even though you could be a sizable church. It has built the necessary infrastructure. Now, infrastructure means the underlying foundation or basic framework as of a system or organization. Let me get it, infrastructure. The underlying foundation or basic framework as of a system or organization. It has built the necessary infrastructure to connect properly and accurately within that community and region. Connecting properly and connecting accurately. That's one of the things we talk about at LTMA. Don't become a part of LTMA if you just want to connect to the anointing, the agenda, and the gift and not the poison. Amen. Trying to get something, put your hand in there and get you a biscuit and run. Now, when you eat that biscuit, what you going to do? And the bread basket closed when you come back. One lady asked her, talking about, she want a temporary leave. You don't get no temporary leave out of LTMA. You permanently left. Yeah. Temporary leave. Leave her absent. You don't leave her absent. Leave her disappearance. Yeah. I ain't got time to fool that foolish man. Leave her absent. Man, my son told me, I said, boy, get out of my bed. Because it is an epic center to plan and implement strategies. Because it is an epic, watch this now. Because it is an epic center. Now, you remember what we found out about that word epic center meant, right? Right where it's about to happen at. Huh? Because it's an epic center to plan and implement strategies. See, now what happened, son, you pastors, what happened is, we brought all kind of old strategies in the church. Humanism, you know, secular secular structure, and it makes some things happen in the natural, but they can't live right. So now they're set up for the devil to take everything they got any minute. But he can't do it to a point who build on the spirit, you see. Somebody take his wife any night, lost his marriage any minute, lost his children any minute, health any minute, because it's not built on the strategy of God. Boys, we got a hold of something. Y'all know that, huh? We're working on something. This what's going to happen now, the student in this school, I hope you're not crazy enough to finish and they'll never come back. Because we're going to, the next 10 years, we're going to be pioneering this thing. I might even set up an advanced class. You know, further than this class, more advanced. When you become an epic center with the plans and implement the strategy of God, others can come to get retained. That's what you're doing here tonight. Empowered. Activities are released and launched. We're launching something now. You see what I'm saying? You right smack dab in the middle of it. I think we have got about 100 students on them. Yeah, y'all right smack dab in the middle. I don't care where you're, Chicago, New York, Africa. I don't care where you're. You're right smack. You're in the right place at the right time. Yes, next 10 years. Yes, things going to get darker and brighter. Yeah. What side you going to be on? Don't waste your time fussing with all these people. Bind the devil and keep moving. Yes. They're going to do it anyway. Yes. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It's not that you have to accept and be a part of it, but you're not going to be able to stop it all. So don't just, just read the Bible. Matthew 24, there it is. They're coming on out. There they come. There they come. So don't worry yourself. Preach the gospel. Bind devils. Get people set free. Yes, sir. It operates like a technical, T-A-C-T-I-C-A-L, technical headquarters. This, we're talking about these governmental churches now. Plans are conceived. You know, I got a lot of scriptures, the plans and purpose of God, but that's Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the plans I have for you. God got some plans for me. I don't know about you. And then activities are release and launch. I said activities are release and launch. And number six on my pad, so don't try to. And since it is a hub of divine activity, when God desires to come into that city or this region, he will use this governing church as a doorway. He, through that church, he can move from heaven and invade the territory of the enemy. Yeah. Through that church. And God knows he can do it, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So this prevailing position gives the church the power to influence. Yeah. Watch this. Think about Bob. He said right there where Sincerian said. And him and I had a talk the other day. He's over Mississippi, Arkansas, and Alabama in his business. And he come to talk to his pastor about some strategies. He was talking, you know, as Bruce Daddy. And when the prevailing position gives the church power to influence, their businessmen have a cutting edge over others. See, you get Bob in the room. Bob knows how to pray his way out in the Holy Ghost. Then he got a praying woman at home, know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, know how to flow in the things of God. They've been submitted for years and years and years and years. So one time in the business, Bob said, look, the bottom went out, and the people, because it's according to how you perform. And the people was all worried. Bob said, no, it's a degree of so much money you have to have. Mine's going to be here. Everything going haywire. But he knew something. So him and Joe would pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And came out. Yes, came out above what it's supposed to be. Yes. See, that's a businessman on the cutting edge. Yes, sir. Their young make dynamic difference in the school they represent. Yeah. We've had some shout out in here in this church. We didn't tell it. We didn't lag on it as we should. I'm gonna start lagging on that. When them children are exceptional, I'm gonna start lagging on it. They got a reason. Them children got brains and the Holy Ghost. All right, members, you get ready for this now. There are members of head and shoulders above the rest, ministering to the masses. Always tell this church, I put y'all out there with anybody. I put one of my members with 14 other members. And yes, sir. And the number not high enough. 1 to 14 would be even unfair. And I'm not putting nobody down. But it'd be unfair if I have a member here paying attention to me and been here 6 or 7 years and put them with an average church, about 40 average church member, she will pick their eyes out with the foolishness that they're talking because they know how to walk in the Word of God. And see, listen, we got to talk about this. See, we don't want to talk about this. See, we got all of God's children. The heck with all of God's children. We got to get this thing straight. That's a problem. Y'all want, come on, I love everybody. Yeah, I love everybody, but some people are stupid you love. Some of my family members, your family members, and when it comes down to spiritual things, they're flat foot stupid. And you got to understand that. How you going to act them? You're going to be a stupid eye with them. Yes, sir. We got to walk in love. Ain't nobody say we got to walk in ignorance. Yes, sir. See, some of y'all had that old biscuit in your purse. Get it out. See, that's too rough on people. Too rough. I ain't being rough on nobody. I'm being rough on ignorance. Yes. The devil. All right, come on. You think you're the only one? I know I'm one. Y'all do with the only what y'all want, but I know I'm one because I paid the price. You need to know that too. Y'all gotta stop trying to eat down. Talking about I'm gonna eat down for them. No eat down for them. How they gonna get up? Wow! How they gonna get out? No, they told me to stay calm. They told me to stay calm. how they gonna get out? How they gonna get out? Your crazy relatives come to the house. You gonna get down with them? Talking about. The Lord gonna make a way somehow. Say, don't say that in here. The Lord already made a way. Say, well, I'm not coming back anymore. Thank you. Bye. Matthew 10:34 just happened. Come on, turn to Matthew 10:34. It just happened. See, y'all ain't gonna be, we ain't gonna be no go to the Lord recovery if you can't go to Matthew 10:34. I think I got the right scripture. And that scripture just drove me up the wall as a Baptist preacher. Thank God I come to send peace. Jesus' mama out there, you know, this sad, his mama and his brother, and son, they out there, want to talk to the son. I mean, it's family business. Jesus, whoever do the will of my father, y'all should have been at the meeting. I ain't coming out there. His own mama, man. I ain't coming out there. Y'all should have been at the meeting. Y'all out there want to make a discussion now. You would have learned what you needed to know in the meeting. Now you want me to come out here and learn you some money. Our development of the governing churches. There are three simple stages in the development of a governing church. Number one, growing from the pioneering stage. You cut some trees down. You got to dig some holes. Number two, growing into a resource center. Well, how many students we got? 100 what? Give me a rough number, 100 what? Rough number, go throw a number, 160, something like that? Yeah, that's good number. How many, Bruce? 140, all right. And LTMA got how many ministers? 100 what? 110. 110. See, we're operating as a resource center. See, people ain't gonna come here, ain't got nothing to offer. What would y'all come here for? You know, talking about how to outline a sermon. Sinners know how to do that. So it's growing into a resource center. And then finally, number three, growing into an apostolic church. When you say apostolic church, it's talking about the book of Acts, okay? And with the apostles in the right place. Now the church has to involve into this position. It won't happen. It does not happen overnight. See, the Lord been working on me for years. I didn't know what he was working on me for. You know, I had to have certain things under my feet, certain things under my belt, certain understanding for to be able to accept this calling and know what the Lord is trying to say to me. Through her yieldness to the God over the years, will he cause her acceleration. See, this baby going to accelerate because we've been yielding to the Lord over the years. I mean, you slap me with something like this, if I didn't have this experience under my belt, you know, I couldn't even eat at that plate. You understand me? Huh? Now, when you finish school, you're not going to have a whole lot of people you can hold this conversation with. You're going to have to train them. Let's talk about the local church growth from its pioneering stage. Now, you know, you got definition of pioneers earlier. Gaining, you listening?
Yes, sir.
A strong conviction of God's call and purpose for its inception. Got to have a strong conviction of God's call and purpose. Do you know what that really means? I'm going to share with you what that really means. The Lord just told me what it really means. It means Romans 8:28. Calling and purpose. Loving God and you're calling, you're loving God and you're calling and your purpose. That's where that conviction comes from. And then all things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
Even when you look like you're losing, you got a strong conviction of God's call and purpose for his inception. You got to be strong. Finally, my brother, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brother, be strong, Paul said, in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The local church grows from its pioneer stage. Number two, understanding its mandates in the city and region. Now, I just talked to the Lord again about going further. We're going to go further and help some of these people because they need to hear the message. Number three, it embraces its mission and kingdom lifestyle. Oh, Lord. It embraces its mission and kingdom lifestyle. You see what happened? People try to embrace the kingdom lifestyle without the mission.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
See the mission first.
Come on, baby. Yeah. Yes, sir.
See, I build God how far I build my house.
Yes, sir.
Solomon did the same thing. Built the Lord's house. Then he built it out. Then there'll come a point that the Lord tell you to do something in a blessing area, and he get angry if you don't do it. See? Now watch what we're doing this. The members of this church will know this, and the members of these boys' church will know this. Because there's another, as I told you three things, there's four things. Equipping its members to minister to the masses everywhere they go. We're in the process of doing that right now. Because the paradigm, there's a paradigm shift. If the concept changed, the behavior changed. And there's a shifting in this church. Something I've been looking for, I couldn't find it. But when that apostle anointing started coming on me, I saw, and when I yield to the calling, I saw where this church needed to go farther and faster. And bigger and stronger and better. And be blessed. And have a problem with solution. Let me go a few more minutes. I'm going to say it's growing into a resource center. This governing church wants to play a major role in her community and with other churches. Now I got other churches coming, pastors coming. They're coming in slow, but they're young men. I had one in my office the other day. You have one sitting here now tonight. And then I'm going to work with them. See? Ask questions, man. Don't sit around and see success and talk about you going on the field. Man, the man has been down the field 50,000 times. He'll tell you where the boll weaver at. Are you following me? You don't have to be fighting them boll weavers like he did. I'm talking about deacons. Cotton would come out, but they'd mess it up every time. I'm a professional deacon deal with them.
Wow.
I've been through the old school. I had some of the best crooks.
Yeah.
schemers. See, the gifts of the Spirit told me what they were. Yeah, if it didn't come through me, it come through one of my children. My children say, you know, just call a name and say, call two names. I said, I don't need these two names. I know what happened. And you're going to go through all that. You can't change them. You can pray for them day and night. You can pray for them, call their mama name, call them. You cannot change them. They really think they're in control. That's a demon. You'll never be a governing church being governed. Moses, when he got down to the Red Sea, if Moses would have had a meeting, some people would argue, you'd have brought us all the way out here. Moses, you think I ought to use the rod or not? No, don't use no dung of rod. See, because there wasn't in the realm of the Spirit. And so all those people that got killed, Pharaoh's army would have caught him, but the man who was leading made the decision. He showed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. I think that's a verse we need to look at, Psalm 103, verse 7. You're a minister. You need to know this. You need to stop eating fruit off the deacon truck. Buy your own fruit. I was among 37 deacons. I shook them up. I said, yeah, gentlemen. But they liked the way I preach. I said, yeah, y'all want another deacon or y'all want a pastor? Because I've been a deacon before. I ain't come here to be no deacon. After the end of that conversation, man, I heard this old guy start fumbling around. I said, man, this young boy going to change our whole church. Sure was. And I told him, I said, y'all want me to move up here? I need a hotline from here to Gonzales. Now, you see, at that time, you ain't had these little phones y'all we got now. It was long distance, so I need a hotline. And I want a car. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And you, some preacher, 40, 50 years, been launch bucket preaching, they're proud of it. See, I don't put no strain on the people of me. You don't put no strain on the people. No, see, I got me a job. Paul messed up with that too. Paul told me, we better trying to. But Paul preached. He said, man should live by the gospel. He preached. Now, look, I ain't turning out no lunch bucket preachers up here. You might have to have your lunch bucket a while. I kept mine a while. But you don't supposed to keep your, I kept mine 16 years. You don't supposed to keep it that long. Now you, no. That bucket should have left me earlier, boy, but I just didn't know no better. I ain't had no chain, you know. But I could have got rid of that bucket. But I know I could have got rid of it in 6 years. Probably more than 6 months I could have got rid of it. I'd have been had some training. I ain't had no training. Why? My pastor was a launch bucket preacher. He died a launch bucket preacher. Good man, but he didn't know no better. He finally retired, got old enough to retire. You got to get old enough in the spirit to quit. See, I have a testimony, man. I have a testimony, man. God told me to walk. I walked. David said, I'm now old. I was young, but now I'm old, and I never seen the righteous begging for bread. You have to wait on your timing. You can get your timing right. You can get your timing right, but the Lord, they come. I'm not LTMA. We're not going to hold on to the lunch bucket preaching. We're going to break legs and necks and arms until they understand you don't have to do this. And they'll get enough revelation to grow. My God. Growing at the Resource Center. This governing church wants to play a major role in her community and with other churches. Now, if they let you. Now, for a while, they're holding back. They're fighting. They've seen enough to surrender. But they haven't surrendered yet. But in this decade of acceleration, they're going to start surrendering. Yes, sir. It's going to be impossible to be that dumbfounded when you see the production. All right? Provide her resources God had built into her. Helping any way they can the surrounding churches. I really want to do that. This stage take a longer time to come into the, as the other churches in the region may take a longer time to trust the governing church. Got it? Yeah, see, because they all think that they're governing churches, but they don't know nothing about no governing church. See? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know no governing church in this community but this church. Because, see, a church is not governed by the people. That's politics. Church governed by the Holy Ghost. You know, by saying that, if it could put me out of town, they would, but they can't. Why? I'm a governing church. Yes, sir. By the orchestration of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. You know. My goodness. Now I know some rising up, and they will be governing churches. I talked to a young man the other day. He said, Lord, I saw in a dream, the Lord told me, whatever you say, do it. Lord told me, you're going to show me how to plan this thing out. I said, okay, son. So I cut him four times before he got his head up. He's bleeding like a hog. Because I wanted him to know how it go. All right, let's go one more. I'm going to grow in an apostolic church. Growing into an apostolic church. And that's, you know, I've had a few members kind of drift away from here because they can't handle it. I've changed. I've been a nice little pastor, but I've changed. And it's more forceful, the thing come out of my mouth is more forceful than they used to be. And I always had a strong anointing. These group of churches in that region soon operate in the same apostolic grace that has been modeled in the original apostolic church. And are now becoming gates, keepers of the city. Acts 2:43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So the local church has now become an apostolic base for God's invasion into the city and into the region. I'll spit these seven out, then we're going to close, and you're going to go to the other class. I want you to be thinking about them. They're probably in your book, the characteristic of a governing churches. Number one, rises into the spirit to dislodge the power of hell. Rises in the spirit to dislodge the power of hell. Number two, reposition herself to become the stronger man. We're going to break these down next class. I got scriptures with it. Number three, exercise territory. You see, every day now I police the heavenly over down road. The heavens. Tell demon you can't operate here. I'm authorized by Jesus to have authority over all kind of power. Glory to God. We come to this church, we have peace up in here. Yeah, we have peace, not because of Leroy, peace because of Jesus. He the head of the church. But I know what to do. Exercise territorial control over the region. Number four, take responsibility to keep spiritual climate conducive. How about it, members? We got a good spiritual climate in our church. You know, we dance, run around, but we got a good spiritual climate. We eat before we leave. Old Montreal taught Sunday, boy. You know, I'm blessed, you know. I was watching him. He said he got a part two and a part three to that. And then Junior took over my impartation today. I was listening. I was on the line. I was listening. I just wanted him to shoot at it. I just want to see if he had some deep revelation going to go off the road. But he stayed right with it. And training them board. And I got to say, I know nobody else now. Y'all get it. Nobody else think they're going to take this over. This thing going to my sibling. So if you get, you don't need to get too tight for me, you think you're going to get that tight. You ain't that tight. So let me squeeze that fart out you right now. Hey, excuse me, ladies. Hey. I got three more and I'm going. Now, this one, you need to hear it clearly because this is where we have a problem at. It's not measured by numerical figures.
a territory or a church is not measured. I had a problem with Patrick one time. He listens right now. Patrick's one of my, I think my oldest son. He kept trying to give an address, kept trying to tell me about Houston. Finally, the Holy Ghost said, no, you're in Channelview, Texas. You're not in Houston. So now that's, God sent you to Channelview. Let's get that straight. And we got it straight. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, and then by numbers, we get crazy over these numbers. See, some of these charismatic churches got so many members, they don't even, they got 20, 30,000. Something just charismatic. But getting an army proved different to me. I'll take this church and sit in a charismatic church with 25,000 members, and I would not have to worry about my members holding their ground. See, I'm bragging on God and the things of God. They wouldn't be embarrassed or nothing, because they'll know what to say, what to do, how to say it, how to do it, how to be quiet, when to talk, who to separate themselves from. And they will not be in general. They'll be accurate with the sword of the Spirit. Now, if they don't, they haven't paid attention to what we told them. So not measured by numerical figures. See, because I had a man told me one time, he's pastoring a large church, and now he's my enemy. Now he's my enemy, but I'm not his enemy, because I started teaching on money. But he told me something that I never forgot. I was going into an auditorium in California. He said, "Are you that young man from Dalrymple?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And my church was larger than the town. He says, "You know, you're doing more than Fred now." Fred Price had a large church, but he's in California. The population is large. You could even be in a populated area and your church not that large. It doesn't mean you're not doing what God wants you to do. If these Negroes and these white folks in this area would open their ears, we wouldn't have enough room to receive them. But they're full of religion and tradition, you see, and the doctrine of men and racism, all that old crazy stuff, and a lot of old black prejudice folks. Prejudice with religion. It's a shame, man. Dragging their tail to the ground and won't hear the truth. Talking about my church. I went to church one time. I'm dancing in the spirit. The man said, "Watch, I can do this too." He started dancing too. A deacon. I'm wide open in the spirit. The Holy Ghost got me. I'm drunk. But I wasn't too drunk to hear this igneism. I don't know what that's the word. He told me, he said, "Hey, look, we can do that too." And he started dancing. I said, "Man, I didn't come here for no competitive spirit. I come here to complete this church." Never went back. I saw what that was. Never went back. Two more now. Carry a clear gospel of the kingdom message and reform the nature of society. We're going to deal with the characteristics of a governing church. We're going to go over each one of those with scriptures in our next setting. All right? All right, where you at in the book of Acts? How many chapters you read? 15? All right, do 5 more. Go on to the 20th chapter. And when you're going and when you're cruising through there, I just want you to see that's God's original church. They make mistakes, don't get me wrong, but they got power. And that's what we got to do. We'll make mistakes, but you got to operate and function in the power of God. So just think about it now. 10 years of acceleration, we started tonight. And activity is going to accelerate in the realm of the Spirit, especially for you who knows how to yield and to function beyond your senses. We're not here to put nobody down, but we got to deal with things. We got to say something to let you know the difference between the two. You know, I think it was a good illustration. I'm telling y'all, you see, y'all get this thing, y'all get love mixed up. See, yeah, sure, we got to love everybody, but you cannot let that factor pull you off track, because God is a lover. God is love. But God is not going to change his mode of operation for you. So therefore, I'm not changing my mode of operation just to tell you I love you. If you don't know I love you because I said I love you,
I'm not going to do no ignorant stuff with you just to say I'm a brother. I can't do that. And see, that's one of the old tendencies of the church. Come on, class, I want you to hear me now. Because there's an act of deliverance. Yes, your faith is recovering. You know, we must walk in love. So that means throw all revelation out just to walk with that sister in love. Now, how you going to get that sister off that road? She's been on that road for 50, I'm talking about road in the field. She's been on that road for 50 years. Now you're going to walk in love with her down the road. Now you got a hope. Now y'all both going down the road, and it's been supposed to be delivered years ago. So that's I want to nail that in the head right now. See, the love suffer long. I know 1 Corinthians 13. I know God is love, but love should not. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Pull you off your base.
Yes, sir.
Of understanding.
Yes, sir.
Of wisdom. Of faith, it shouldn't pull you off your base. Somebody got to be saved. See, you reach out, sure, reach out further you can reach, but don't let them pull you off your base. Other words, there's a word here. I was trying to get to compromise. A lot of times people call it love, but what it is compromise. I'm a nice gentleman. You may say I'm rough all the time. I go out of my way to help somebody.
Right,
but I'm not compromising the word.
Right. Yes, sir.
You come to me with a problem, you know, I'm going to deal with the problem.
Yes, sir.
And give you the solution.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
You know, a lot of times people wonder why something's not working in the house when they're married. You the problem.
Yes.
But you won't sit there and talk about she the problem. You the problem. See, you gotta treat a woman with some respect. You can't woman ain't like no man. You insult a woman, boy, you got trouble. I got a wife, I've been married 41 years. You insult a woman, you're gonna be dazed. You talking about, oh, let's forget about it. Don't forget about it, no. You said it. So I heard a guy say exam next week. Syllables would be online to study. I heard a guy singing a song. I was passing him a radio. He said, "Would you rather be happy or right?" Think about that one. But some things you argue about, it's really not evil. You're just arguing about it because somebody won't be right. Just let it go, man. Let I be right. Just say, okay. I mean, you know, it wasn't a lie. It didn't break the Ten Commandments or nothing, you know. So just let her be right. See you right. Gotta go. She laughed. Boy, you gonna learn how to have some peace. Just all right. Don't argue. Don't never try to prove nothing to a woman if it don't have no morals. Don't even try to prove it. I mean, if it's something she's gonna get a snake gonna bite or something. But if it's something that just leave it alone, man. I've been married 41 years. Give me a little sense. Just you know, how many of you men and got in trouble messing with something that just didn't make no sense?
Yes, sir.
Rather y'all lying, you ain't married or something, you're lying. Just don't make no sense. Talking about the light was red. Or the light stayed on 25 seconds. You said 23 seconds.
Yeah.
It was 25. No, I said 23. Now this light done messed up 4 nights for you. The light read 4 nights. It was 25 seconds. I'm going to train y'all for it over with.